Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Let's talk a little bit about your health, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Dr. Jeffrey Copen is here. He's the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Hi, Doc.
Hey, John. So you like have no hesitancy, I see, to wade into big controversy. Which Bobby Brown?
Yes, that's about as deep as the water as I want to get into. There are. It's funny because just since you brought that notion up, so when I said to Bobby Brown, I said we were talking about makeup for men, and she's not too much into that. And I said, but the most made-up man in America, famously, is Donald Trump. Do you have any makeup advice for him? And she said, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Which was, as a businesswoman, a very smart play on her part, I think. And by the way, tomorrow, Thursday, Dr. Copen, I'm going to talk to a nutritionist who's regularly on our show, Dawn Jackson Blattner. I'm going to ask her a question that I thought I would just run by you, too. Not that you're a dietitian anyway. Do you think if I'm going to exercise, I should eat before or after I should exercise before or after I eat, or I should eat before or after I exercise? I wonder if there's a better model or plan for that, Doc.
I think most people, if they're going to exercise and exercise vigorously, have a hard time doing that on a full stomach.
Yeah, right.
That's more important than anything. And there's actually a physiologic reason for that as well. Some people like to eat a little bit before they exercise, and that's all right. But you never want to overeat before you exercise. I actually have a cute story like that. When I was a high school basketball player, my mother used to like to feed me before I'd go to a game. And one time she made me a rib steak. And I actually could dunk the ball once upon a time. But I don't think I could jump more than 3 inches that game with the rib steak in my belly.
I get that. The CDC has lowered the age to get a vaccine against pneumonia. How about that?
Yeah, we were waiting for that. It's actually a good idea. We've been recommending pneumococcal vaccine. Pneumococcus is a bacteria that can cause a really nasty pneumonia in older people. It also can cause ear infections and some other things. But the most important thing is the pneumococcal pneumonia in older people and people who have impaired immune systems. And we've been doing it from 65 and above. Now the recommendation is it actually can be done at 50 or in people who have immune problems. And John, I think we're seeing how CDC has found the real theme, right? It's not just age. It also has to do with the condition of somebody's immune system, what kind of chronic illnesses they might have. These are really important rules. I think we learned a lot during COVID and continue to learn a lot about vaccination during this time. And it's interesting to watch how CDC is changing some of these recommendations.
So you get when you get the pneumonia shot, do you get it just once in your life or do you get it more often?
Yeah, so the one that we have right now that's in most common use, it's probably just going to be once. Once we get some more experience with it, it might be as people get older. Let's say you get it when you're 65, 10, 15 years later. There might be a recommendation that will arise to get another one at that point. That's what we had with the older form of the pneumococcal vaccine. So we'll see. It's we can't always predict.
Right.
We need some more experience.
But as we sit here today, you're not getting it annually like you're doing the flu or COVID shots.
No, far from it. This one works really well. It gives excellent protection. So for our listeners who are certainly over the age of 65, or if you have an impaired immune system, chronic medical illnesses, next time you see your healthcare provider, bring up pneumococcal vaccine if you haven't gotten it yet.
And then the shingles are a series of two. And what about that respiratory, the virus, other shot that we're getting now?
Yeah, RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, that's one time. That's one time. Same kind of rules that we're talking about with pneumococcal vaccine.
Got it. Updated guidelines may help reduce the risk of first-time stroke. According to the American Stroke Association, more than 600,000 people in the United States will have their first stroke this year. Wow. The association wants doctors to warn patients about some of the risk factors. Do you have any wisdom for us on this?
This is the same type of thing, John, that we would talk about cardiac health. So if somebody is overweight, somebody has diabetes, don't get any exercise, a poor diet, what these new recommendations and guidelines are specifying is you want to fix those things. So any of the things that we've talked about in the past that could lead to heart disease also can lead to stroke. These are very much related disease entities. So those things that are remediable, are modifiable, people should really work on them.
It's funny how many things that we talk about with doctors. We say, what should we do? And they go, well, you should exercise, get sleep, drink plenty of fluids, and have a healthy diet. Have a nice day. And it's like, you know, I'm always hoping there's some magic little hack that you'll have for us. And you sounded honestly there like general good health advice.
Yeah, and I think that's really the point, John. It's interesting. We want to believe that medical science has magic elixirs, right? And really, that's how we think about it. Magic elixirs that not only will keep us healthy, but should something bad happen, make us better. It turns out that's probably only about 20% in our current age. Is it far advanced as medical science is? Only 20% are the medications and the surgeries and all the really cool things we're able to do. You know what the other 80% is? Mm. It's the things that we can handle ourselves. That kind of life we live, the diet. So, you know, I'm glad you have the dietitian on Thursday so we can learn how to eat better. Not being obese, getting a good amount of exercise, not smoking, not drinking too much alcohol. You know, all these things, John, that we've talked about consistently, those are the major, major things that lead to good health. And the good news is so much of it really is within our ability to do on our own.
Yeah, that's the beauty and the beast of it all, I guess, because then it's up to us. But just back to your point, this from an article at CNN. It says the guidelines suggest, and this is guidelines to reduce first-time stroke, the guidelines suggest a Mediterranean diet to improve heart health and maintain a healthy weight. Diets like the MIND diet show that feasting on leafy greens, olive oils, fish, and other whole foods can reduce the risk of cognitive decline as well. The risks of dementia are essentially the same as the risks for stroke. How about that? It's just lead a better, healthy lifestyle, and you might have a better, healthy life. Any last pieces of advice from you, Dr. Copen from Northwestern, maybe about vaccine recommendations or anything else we should know today?
So I checked with the CDC, I was interested in the percent of adults eligible to get the new COVID vaccine, what the uptake is.
Yeah.
So here we are, we're getting towards the end of October, and John, we're at 12%. Not good. Particularly for older folks, and I know I start sounding like a broken record, but it's really important. People over the age of 65, certainly over 75, people with chronic medical diseases of any type, and really anybody, it's worth getting this vaccine. COVID's not done. It's around. We're going to have another uptick in the amount of COVID we have. It's hard to believe today. It's almost winter. It was just outside.
Yeah.
But, you know, winter's coming. We're going to have flu. We're going to have COVID. So if you haven't gotten those vaccinations, please go ahead and do it. We have such good data now that the vaccine is life-preserving for older people. It keeps people out of the hospital. It keeps people from even getting long COVID, which is still there. So I just can't emphasize enough how important it is. And, John, maybe next week we can talk about the new recommendation about people being able to, who need it, to be able to get the new vaccine 6 months after they got the last one. So that's a new recommendation. I think that's worth some time we can spend next week. While we encourage people to go out and get the vaccine, there's no line. You can go to your local pharmacy, go to your local clinic. Yeah. They'll be able to give it to you.
We'll absolutely do that. Dr. Jeffrey Copin, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you, Doctor.
All right, John. Take care. Everybody stay well.